ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ऐक्षस शब्द कला अस्मिन् युगे जना मन्दस् सुमन्द मठयो मन्द भाग्या युपादृताः प्रायेण पायुषस् प्रायेण पायुषस्सभ्यालवस्मिन् युगे जना मन्दस्सुमन्दमतयो मन्दभाग्यभिपद्रुता प्रायेण पायुषस्सभ्या कलावस्मिन् युगे जना मन्दस्सुमन्दमतयो मन्दभाग्याभिपद्रुता प्रायेण पायुषस्सभ्या कलावस्मिन् युगे जना मन्दस्सुमन्दमतयो
the public,
मंदा लेसि सुमंद मतया निष्काय मंद भाग्य अनलकी ही एंड अबव ऑल एक्सक्यूज मी एंड अबव ऑल रूपादुरुता डिस्टर्ब Translation. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. Purport. The devotees of the Lord are always anxious for the spiritual improvement of the general public. When the sages of Nainisharanya analyzed the state of affairs of the people in this age of Kali, they foresaw that men would live short lives. In Kali Yuga, the duration of life is shortened, not so much because of insufficient food, but because of irregular habits. By keeping regular habits and eating simple food, any man can maintain his health. Overeating, over-sex gratification, over-dependence on others' mercy, and artificial standards of living sap the very vitality of human energy. Therefore, the duration of life is shortened. The people of this age are also very lazy, not only materially, but in the matter of self-realization. The human life is especially meant for self-realization. That is to say, man should come to know what he is, what the world is, what the supreme truth is. Human life is a means by which the living entity can end all the miseries of the hard struggle for life in material existence, and by which he can return to Godhead, his eternal home. But due to a bad system of education, men have no desire for self-realization. Even if they come to know about it, they unfortunately become victims of misguided teachings. In this age, men are victims not only of different political creeds and parties, but also of many different types of sense gratificatory diversions, such as cinemas, sports, gambling, clubs, mundane libraries, bad associations, smoking, drinking, cheating, pilfering, figuring, and so on. Their minds are always disturbed and full of anxieties due to so many different engagements. In this age, many unscrupulous men manufacture their own religious faiths, which are not based on any revealed scriptures. And very often, people who are addicted to sense gratification are attracted by such institutions. Consequently, in the name of religion, so many sinful acts are being carried on that the people in general have neither peace of mind nor health of body. The student Brahmachari communities are no longer being maintained, and householders do not observe the rules and regulations of the Grihastha Ashram. Consequently, the so-called Vanaprasthas and Sannyasis who come out of such Grihastha Ashrams are easily deviated from the rigid path. In the Kali Yuga, the whole atmosphere is surcharged with faithlessness. Men are no longer interested in spiritual values. Material sense gratification is now the standard of civilization. For the maintenance of such material civilizations, man has formed complex nations and communities, and there is a constant strain of hot and cold wars between these different groups. It has become very difficult, therefore, to raise the spiritual standard due to the present disordered values of present distorted values of human society. The sages of Nainisharanya are anxious to disentangle all fallen souls, and here they are seeking the remedy from Sri Vasudeva Goswami. So after praising the position of Sri Vasudeva Goswami and his ability to be able to properly direct and guide the sages of Nainisharanya, then he is now, they are addressing the point that the people in this age, they are missing that qualification. He is having all good qualifications, that submission, that proper service attitude, that proper attentiveness to his studies and service. But in this age, they are missing that. They just don't have it. So because of this, now what to do for these people? So in this verse, then, the qualities of the age are then given. And we see here is that it's not something new and special. This is also one of the disqualifications of this age, is that everybody feels their situation is so unique and special, though everybody else is doing exactly the same thing. Like this, you read through here, and then we see it's just the same thing. The people are distracted by mundane sense gratification. Mundane sense gratification becomes the standards by which everything is judged. Right? Do you do something? Are you Krishna conscious? You look at the sense gratificatory aspects. You look at the economics of it. You know? And then you make a decision. You know, how do you educate your children? You look at the sense gratificatory and economic positions of it. Whatever it is, this is what's looked at in this age. If it's supportive of artha and kama, then it's considered good. If it's not, or it seemingly requires faith, which in this age people are faithless, then it's not good. So whatever you're doing, it's just practical. What you dress, what you eat, what you do, how you live, everything is based on artha and kama. So this is the problem. Therefore, people get distracted. Because then you're dealing with the senses. The senses will drag you everywhere. So naturally, people will be disturbed. Their minds will not be focused. And due to lack of faith, due to lack of simplicity in their life, then how do they apply it? Right? If faith is not there, faith means there's no faith in authority, there's no faith in some higher principle. So then what do you turn to? So they turn to themselves. That's the principle. They just turn to themselves. And what are themselves here? It says they should know who they are and what the world is. But they view it through sense gratification and economic development. And then because of this, then they don't really know who they are. They know their senses. They know they want to fulfill those senses. They know they need money to do that. And so then there's so much opportunity because everyone's trying to get their money. So each one is then putting forward that what I have to offer will please your senses. And why are they doing that? So that they can get the money to enjoy their senses. So the opportunities for sense gratification are very broad. So much is there. So people are disturbed. If they're disturbed, you can't focus. You can't focus, you can't get anything done. You get nothing done, you remain unfortunate, unlucky. Yeah. So that's the Vedic principle. Life is simple. Unfortunately, simple is considered a bad term in the modern, concepts of the world. Simple is generally translated as simple tongue. Simple tongue means an idiot, or a stupid, foolish person. So the Westerners are very, very proud of their so-called complicated societies. Right? It means you have something on your plate. You just have to pick it up and put it in your mouth and chew it. No, but you have to have this plate sitting on top of that plate, and this fork, and that knife, and this spoon, and this is taken away, this plate's taken away before that one comes. And all you have to do is pick it up and put it in your mouth. But they make it so complex, and they feel themselves very proud and very superior to the person who is practical, just puts it in their mouth. But when it comes to spiritual life, if there's any sophistication there, there is no brain to deal with it. Therefore, even though they claim to be intelligent and sophisticated, you find they're extremely unfortunate. Because, simple. Right? I've seen seminars on how to do the simplest thing, made into complicated stuff. And then when it comes to the technicalities of spiritual life, we just chant Hare Krishna, we don't care for this. This is a symptom of this age. We think, no, I'm just being practical. But what practical what? Are we knowing ourselves? Are we knowing the material world? Right? Who made the material world? Right? All these guys who write all these books? Or God, who wrote the scriptures? Right? means the guy that wrote the book sat around and was intelligent enough to observe the material workings of the world. After observing for a long time, then he decides, oh, hey, I see a pattern here. And other people who aren't smart enough to see that or are too busy to notice it, then are impressed with their observation. Right? You know, it's called scientific, it's called, you know, study, or, you know, something is done. And it's given great credence. But he's just observed the material nature. Now, if the person that made the material nature writes a book, oh, that's not practical, we don't care, that's an old thing, old book, right? Like I was discussing with a devotee, you know, some months back, about some management thing that devotees were into, like anything in the mid-90s. It was like the thing, everything, win-win, you know. Like that. That's all they talk. Four quarters. Oh, that's quite a group of movies. You know, constantly. That's all you ever hear. Anything you want to talk. It's all quadrants and wind. You know? And then I mentioned to that this other devotee who also used to talk like that. And then I mentioned something about, you know, people getting, oh, that's old now. Now they're in the system. So this and that. And I send it going. That means that it was all nonsense. Every discussion of that was pure, 100% prajalpa. It was maya. Otherwise, if it wasn't, one says, no, no, what? Then it means it's still good today. Right? A fact is a fact. Water is wet, whether it's 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 1,000,000 years ago. It's still a fact. It's wet. Wet still, right? I mean, has anybody found any difference? Anybody found water's not wet? Raise your hand. No, it's still the same. Okay. What about fire? Still hot? Yeah, okay. Like that. So, therefore, it's eternal. So if it wasn't good today, it wasn't good yesterday either. Because what works, works. Because the material world does not change. Despite the proud, puffed up, modern person's concept that it does. It's still the same old Chulmichu. No difference. Right? This is 5,000 years ago. They spoke this. And you read this. This is exactly what's going on today. So it's been going on for 5,000 years. That people are so proud that my position of misguidedness, my position of unluckiness, my quarrelsomeness, these are all unique, special, and not only that, it should be done, it's bona fide, it has to happen like this. Why I should listen to the authorities, why I shouldn't quarrel, why I shouldn't go do my own thing and run into all kinds of troubles. At least it's my troubles, as no one else has forced these troubles upon me. Right? Of course, they miss out on the three modes of nature, but, you know, still this idea. So this has been going on. Nothing new. This is the thing. The modern society is so proud that they are special, unique, and got it together. And if you look at it, it's one of the most dysfunctional social systems in the world. Right? You can go to some out-of-the-way Aboriginal place and they have nicer social interactions, nicer family relationships, nicer, everything's better. But because it's simple, therefore in modern terminology, it's useless, it's nonsense. It has to be complicated, it has to be messed up, I have to have my head so screwed up I don't know whether it's up or down. Then I can consider myself satisfied. Yes, I am normal. And if anybody else is not like that, then there's got to be something wrong. Oh, they're living a simple life? That's because they don't have the brains to live the messed up, you know, neurotic life I have. Right? They're just simple, they're stupid. So what can they do? You know, you got to give them a break. You know? But no, it's a matter of, it doesn't work like that. It's a matter of people are so unfortunate, simply by complicating it, they think something's happened. Right? The result, no one looks at. Right? It's not the result that's important. It's the feeling of ego, of having done something very complex. That makes us feel good. But practically getting it done, no, that doesn't matter. Of course, unless it's economics. Right? Economics, yes, that you find the quickest, most, best way. So they've developed very greatly in that area. You know? But at the same time, what is the result? So this is being seen by the sages, is that they are lazy. They just don't want to, they don't want to do anything. Everything should just come to them. And especially in spiritual life, then there's no motivation. Because there isn't that faith that spiritual life is going to give me what I need. So then they're asking how to develop that so that people have faith in the spiritual life. People have faith in the Vedic version so that they can actually progress, they can progress very nicely. And that is their anxiety, how to deal with this situation. And this is, they're seeing this at that time, right? They're sitting there looking at it. And that's 5,000 years ago. Right? And if you talk to the older people, they will say, yes, when I was young, people were like this and that, so much nicer. And that was 50 years ago. So you put it 5,000, and they're still saying, this is what's going on. Right? And then maybe more refined, more polished, more gentle, but still the same thing. So that's like that. So then, so probably give some points. Irregulation shortens the life. The whole idea is that if you have a machine, it's taken care of regularly in a proper way, and it runs better. Because we're dealing with a machine. We may, it's my machine, we even say it's I machine. But whatever it is, it's still a machine. So if it's dealt with in a proper way, in a regulated way, then things go nice. So we see, therefore, in spiritual life, regulation is very important. Because then both the spiritual of regularly coming in contact with transcendental subject matter and transcendental activities is then established, but at the same time in doing that, as a side benefit, the health is maintained. The mental, the emotional, the physical, the intellectual, it's all maintained. Like that. It's not a separate endeavor. You don't have to separately involve oneself. You know, just like someone is sitting here in Mayapur, right? Is there anything stopping anyone from getting out a bottle of mustard oil, putting it on, and sitting in the sun? Right? Anything stopping? No. But do we do it? No. We have to spend thousands of, you know, whatever we work in, and fly over to some exotic island and then go to a spa. And what are they going to do? They're going to do exactly the same thing that people in their houses from traditional families do since they were little kids. Put on oils and paste and this and that and sit around the sun and wash it off. Right? And how much does it cost? Right? How much does 100 grams of chickpea flour cost? Right? Not so much, right? But now if someone else puts it on for you, then you're talking in hundreds of dollars. Right? So that's the point. It's so complex that it doesn't mean anything, right? If you go to something as exotic, if you do it yourself, it's a work. Right? So that's the whole thing. It's because of laziness, people can't do anything anymore. So if one regulates the life and just follows the tradition, then the spiritual life develops. And as a side benefit, material life is taken care of. It's automatic. It just happens. Knowing who we are. So the Prabhupada said, the human life is specially meant for self-realization. That is to say, a man should come to know what he is, what the world is, and what the supreme truth is. So he should know himself as soul, and what exactly that means. You should know who is God, what that means. And you should know the material world. So the material world includes our body, our mind, and our intelligence, and our ego. So until you know that, you don't know the world. People say they know the world. They know the world what? For economics or sense gratification? Do they know actually who they are? No. So they don't know how the mind works. They don't know how their intelligence works or the ego works. They just don't know. So you have to know that to be able to deal with it. Right? This is the whole, you have to know how the ego works. Okay, you have an ego as a kid. Right? It works in one way. Then when it becomes adolescent, it starts to work in a different way. Right? Then one goes to get married, then it changes again. Right? One, you know, retires from married life, changes again. They just happen automatically. Because it happens to the individual, he thinks it's just me. But it happens to everybody. It's exactly the same thing. Right? You know? It's like noses. Everybody's got a nose. You know, my nose is special. Everybody's got a nose, right? My nose, I got two holes in my nose. How many you got in yours? Right? It's just standard, so normal. So the intelligence works in a certain way. The mind, the ego, it all works in a set standard pattern, normal. Right? Otherwise, how do you tell a joke? Everybody laughs because they have the same viewpoint. How do you say, this is sweet? Everybody gets the same flavor. Right? How do you say, this is nice or not nice? This is a general perception. Right? You go down far enough, it's a general perception. Everybody agrees. So this principle is that our conditioned nature is not unique, that is very beneficial for spiritual development, for self-realization. As long as we keep, yes, I am special, I am unique, then you're going to be the special, unique, you know, one face in 6 billion on the earth. It just continues like that. So as soon as we accept this is just the conditioned nature it's been had before, right? It's nothing special. You only get 8,400,000 species of life, right? So that means you can only have that many made situations, right? Does that make some sense? It's quite a big number. Those you can then divide down, right? You have dogs are a category, cats are a category, you know, slimy things that crawl around are a category, birds are a category. And they have a basic general mentality. And then within that, you have finer divisions. You know, there's definitely a beast, the difference between how a cat thinks and a dog thinks. Right? But they both have something in common that's different from a fish. Right? So this way, then you end up with 6, 7 basic general mentalities. And then you divide those down, you get 8,400,000. Right? That's how the human being ends up in those species of life, by having that mentality. But that's it. It's not unlimited. So it's just something that somebody else had, right? Somebody has, you know, they look nice, or they're a pleasant person to deal with, but the concept is there. You look up in the dictionary, you know, someone's gregarious. It's a common word. Many people have it. Money, right? It's something common, but it seems to be something around. It's not unique to us. Other people have pockets, and other people have money. So this whole idea that we are special and unique is just a conditioned nature. It's just the modes of nature. And they manifest in a particular way. And then that's we call it unique. But then it's always going on. It's always happening. Right? Does that make some sense? And it always has to happen. Right? Every Treta Yuga, Ramachandra performs his pastime. Every Dwapara Yuga, Krishna performs his pastimes. Every Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performs his pastimes. And then within that, you see is that the same things happen. You have the same people. You have India, and the Malechas come in, and they take over, and they mess things up. And they do it every Kali Yuga. Right? So it's always going on. It's not something new. Like that. That's the thing. It always happens. Just repeated again and again and again and again. Prabhupada makes a point. You perform a sinful activity, you go to hell. You take birth in the animal species. Then you come back into human life. Where will you come back in human life? Exactly the same spot you were in before. Right? So that means you have to be the same spot, same mentality, same everything. So the subtle body makes the gross. So if the subtle body is the same, it means it's the same gross body. Okay, maybe the mole moved from here to over there. You know? That's all. Okay. But that's it. Same old thing. So there's nothing you need. Right? And it's a post, right? You have the post, like President of America. It's a post. And it keeps changing who's in the post. Indra's a post. But every 14 times in the day of Brahma, that person changes. That's in one day, right? Then you have 365 days times 100. How many Indras? And they all do the same. They all have a 1,000 eyes in the body. They all have to do something stupid to get 1,000 eyes in the body. Right? And it's always connected with lust. Right? Like this. So it's going on. It's just always happening. So it means the same mentality is there. He always looks the same. Indra always looks the same. So that means the people who do all these different things, they always look the same. You know? Like now it's, you know, you have Colonel Sanders, and he's got his little goatee. Next by the time it'll be Lieutenant Sanders, you know. You know, it's not like that. It'll just be the same thing. There's got to be somebody who introduces, you know, chicken into everybody's life. It's one of the desires in Kali Yuga. So somebody's got to do it. This guy wants to do it. He's got a few chickens. Hey, I'll do it. Yeah. You know? And so then it happens. You change the name. You know? But it's basically the same. Some idiot's got to go out and play kites with a key on it and get zapped. Right? Hey, electricity, you know. Someone else has to be sitting under a tree and an apple drops on his head. With, hey, gravity. You know? It always has to do it. So it just happens. These things are introduced because these are the desires of people in Kali Yuga. So it's just again and again and again and again. But people think, I'm so unique, so good. I was looking in a book yesterday, a picture from the 1930s. And I was looking at it, and that picture could have been today. People dressed, Indians dressed in modern dress, and they were wearing sunglasses. And the sunglasses they were wearing were exactly what people are wearing today as the latest fashion. This is 1930. You know, this is 70 years ago. The guy had a hairdo. It was exactly in fashion today. But you've got the latest haircut, right? You just spent $100 on. They had it back 70 years ago. That's the funny thing. I was really surprised. The same sunglasses. You know, so that's the thing, is that Maya makes this illusion that we're special, it's nice, so we hold on to it so tightly. But that's the point, that people are so unlucky, unfortunate, that they just don't let it go. They just can't take it up seriously because of these attachments. If one has the faith, like we see these Shlejas and Naimisharani, they have faith. They see Sutta Goswami is bona fide. He has studied properly. What he knows is proper. He is mature. You know, so he knows how to apply it. And so they want to hear from him so that they can apply it in their life and they can help others apply it in their life. Right? So we have the same benefit. We have the same instruction given to us by the previous acharyas, and we can apply it in our life today. It's as fresh today as it was 5,000 years ago. And he's learned it from Vyasadeva, who's compiling the Vedic literatures that are, you know, eternal. So it's as fresh as it was millions and billions of years ago, even trillions of years ago. Right? We're at 151. Yeah, we're at 151 trillion years into the cosmic manifestation. So what Krishna spoke to Brahma 151 trillion years ago is still as fresh today as it was then. Right? Not bad, right? Let's see the modern, you know, manufacturing companies work that one out, how to keep something fresh for 151 trillion years. Right? So this is this point. So if we have that faith, we apply it in our life, we'll find we get the same effect as they got. The miseries of our life go, we'll be able to establish ourselves in proper knowledge, we'll be able to develop that devotion for Krishna, we'll be able to go back to Godhead. So that's what's available. And this whole beginning chapter then is the questions. Questions by the sages, how to understand this and how to apply it practically in their life. Any questions? Comments on this. In the Chaitanya avatar in this Kali Yuga or in any other Kali Yuga means 1,000 times in the day of Brahma, then the avatar comes as Chaitanya. Right? So Chaitanya means they spread the Yuga, Yuga Dharma of chanting the holy names. It means every Kali Yuga, by chanting the holy names, you can perfect your life and go back to Godhead. Right? Now, 99 of these are opening the door to Vaikuntha. And one, which is Swayam Krishna, opens the door to Braja Vrindavan. That's the difference. So the difference is whether it's directly Krishna himself or it's his expansion. That's the difference. Same with Swayam Krishna. 99, it's always the avatar is black, he's called Krishna, his consort is Radha. You know? But they're teaching, you know, Vaikuntha Bhakti. Like that. But only in this one, then they're teaching Vaikuntha Bhakti. So that's the difference.
It says Harinam, is it always Mahamantra?
It's Harinam, is it always Mahamantra?
Yeah.
Basically. Mahamantra is the best of all mantras. But it also means any of the names, the bona fide names.
Sure.
The Mahamantra is always there. It's always the process. Like in fact, they call Sankara the Upanishads. So the Upanishads are an eternal principle. But whether they, how they are chanting, whether they'll chant, what is their particular purpose, goal. So the avatar will always teach devotion. But still, by chanting Hare Krishna, you can go to Vaikuntha. You know, it's just the best means of getting out of here and getting to any place in the spiritual world. Like that. It's just a matter of where you want to go, what's your focus. Does that make sense? Yes, sir. How does the other ones lead to Vaikuntha? The other ages? Because that's what's open. That's what people are interested in. Huh?
I can't hear, it's so high. Radharani is not in Vaikuntha. Point is it's just that that form is there because she's just Lakshmi. Lakshmi has how many names? You ever look at the Sahasranams? These names are all there. Even the names of all the external energy, Maya, Yoga, Maya, all these things, they're all part of her name. Radharani's name, one of them is Lalita. Not meaning Lalita here, meaning Lalita, meaning good. Kumari, she's known as Kumari. Good. So all these things, these are all her expansions. It means it's very, very popular in the Vaikuntha Sampradayas. They also sing songs and do worship of Radha and Krishna. But they see it's Vaikunthapati has taken this mood of Krishna and Lakshmi has taken this mood of Radharani. So it's the sweet pastimes. They're so great and opulent that they even have these sweet, simple pastimes. So it's just a different angle of vision. Like that. You know, it's just, in other words, they reverse it. It's called, It means the expression. Just like if you have, you're expressing something, and you say, means you're saying that who is doing the activity and who it's being done to, right? That would be the natural way of presenting it. But you can inverse that what was done to who, rather than who did the activity, you could say what was done to the person. So, but when you do that, then the person who is the receiver now becomes the main subject. You reverse the two. Right? Does that make some sense? I mean, somebody's the subject is doing an activity that affects the object. But when you put it in passive tense, you reverse that. So the subject becomes the main point in the statement. And the person who's doing it becomes the secondary. But grammatically, it switches. So therefore, Vaikunthapati, even though he is the expansion of Krishna, still, he is Krishna's expansion. So as Krishna's expansion, he is doing those activities. Because it's the same person. You know what I'm saying? Krishna and Vaikunthapati are the same person. Just the mood is different. So that means Vishnu is Krishna. Right? But you're emphasizing that, so then it appears that he may be the source of it, when he's actually not. So all it is it's just a matter of you're putting it in active or passive. So they just look at it from that side. They put Vishnu as the main point, and so then Krishna then becomes connected there. Does that make sense? So it's just a thing. It's just how it's whatever is your main point, then everything adjusts around that. So that's why it's so important to hear from the acharyas, because you have to know what is the main point, and then it will be formed around that. So for us, then we understand that Lord Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna in Braj is our main point. Therefore, we adjust everything else around that, and we look at it from that angle. That. But then someone else who's on another platform, they know about Radha and Krishna, they know about, you know, Ramachandra, they know about Krishna and Dwarka. Like you go into these Vaikuntha Sampradayas, they worship Krishna with Rukmini and Satyabhama. Many times that's their deities, you know, and Krishna is there with four arms and two of them are playing flute. So they worship like that. But that's still, they put the main point as Vaikuntha. And everything else is adjusting around that. You know? So they just put it in a different expression. Standard expression would be, you have Swayam Krishna and everything expands from him. But you have other ways you can express that and turn it around. You know, that's why sometimes you get different, seeming different angles of vision. It depends on what you're emphasizing. Right? If we're emphasizing the philosophy, then these other things become secondary. But if you take, let's say, karma, it means your senses and everything will be taken care of automatically. But if we take the senses as primary, then karmakanda becomes the main point, and philosophy is something that is connected there in the distance. But those others are adjustments of the natural form. Does that make sense? So there is, it's not that all the six forms that you could do that with are equal. No, there is an original. And then all the others are then variations off of that. So when Lord Chaitanya says, this is the conclusion, that is the conclusion. But you can look at it from all these other angles. And it's not wrong. But the difference is you're going to get a different result because your point's different. Does that make sense? Yeah. Anything? Where? Oh.
But the other day,
Yeah, Janayana makes a point here is that in this manifestation just now it's Swayam Krishna, so he's coming straight from Goloka Vrindavan. But in the other 999 forms, then he's an expansion of Kiradaksha Vishnu. Because generally you see all the incarnations are his expansion. And he's married to Radharani, and they perform Swakya Rasa, not Parakya Rasa. So that it's more standard, because most people can understand Swakya quite nicely. Like that, as, you know, proper and everything. So then, that will be also a difference in the manifestation. So that's why you find sometimes, I think in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it will explain, that's explaining that Radha Krishna, or expansions of Kiradaksha Krishna. Because there you have them married and different things and all that. And a flavor of that is there than in other sampradayas many times take aspects of that flavor. So they also worship Radha and Krishna, but some with more opulence, some with less opulence. So it has more of a simple brunch flavor, or it has more of an opulent brunch flavor. I think, I'm not sure, I think Baladev Vidyabhushan then, what do you call it? Describes a form of Vrindavan that, where Radharani goes, when she goes to meet Krishna for the rasa dance, or when she goes to meet, then she gets in a flower airplane with 10 million maidservants. And then they fly off to meet Krishna. So it's Vrindavan, right? Their cowherds are out in the forest and all this, but still they're flying around in airplanes that can hold 10 million people, right? So that's not a small plane like that, you know. And they're not packed in. I'm sure they don't have little loops there that they're all holding on to, right? They're probably all situated very comfortably and nice in this plane space. Like that. So you get these things. These things are there. So that's why it's specifically pointed out, this is what's not been offered. These other forms have been offered. Radha Krishna worship has been offered before. But not Vraja. That's only once a day from here. So that's what's so special about it. Like that. So one should not make the mistake and miss the opportunity. Like that. Okay, so we'll end. Gantrabhak Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samadita Bhakti Vinod ki, Jaya Tango Vinod ki.